This is Ryan Dedman, Outreach Director with the 911 Training Institute, providing unique mental health expertise and call mastery for dispatchers as the very first responders. You can find the 911 Training Institute on Facebook and Twitter, and visit our website, www.911training.net.
This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon, this is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 170 of Within the Trenches, a podcast based on the experience of being a 911 dispatcher. This episode is sponsored by the 911 Training Institute and is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. So, I have to mention this right off the bat. It's 3:38 p.m. right now, and we were going to start this episode at 2:30. We've been having a lot of technical difficulties. It's been a lot of fun. It was funny. And one of my guests actually was throwing F-bombs, which I couldn't hear him, but his colleague mentioned it because none of the voice was coming out. And yes, throwing under the bus because it's funny. I mean, that's how it all started. So I'm going to jump right in to my guests here. And my guests today are Jim Marshall and Ryan Dedman of the 911 Training Institute. How's it going?
It's going great. Can you put the bus in reverse and roll it back?
Oh,
my head.
You know, it was amazing.
It was happening with the F-bomb. It wasn't me.
I can neither confirm nor deny that the bus completely broke down and then caught on fire and was fully engulfed.
fully engulfed. Classic. Yeah, that was funny. I introduced you, the both of you, a collective sigh.
Just because we know we are going to be subjected to at least 30 minutes of torture by the one and only Ricardo Martinez.
Oh, that's torture alone that you pronounced my last name like that.
Ricardo Martinez.
Martinez. I should have said, pardone, Ricardo Martinez. Not the problema. Lo siento.
It's all good, man. There's a lot of people who pronounce it that way as well. Or they'll call me Carlos or Rodrigo for whatever reason. But, you know, a lot has happened since you guys were on last. The last time you were both on, we announced the Survive and Thrive Fit Challenge. And since then, a lot of people have joined us. We have, I started up this group. It was actually in talking with a friend of ours, Tracy, who works with Rapid SOS, and she had mentioned, you know, do you have a group for this? And I said, you know, I've been kind of thinking about that because people were asking, you know, where can I share my pictures or where can I share my story or any of my status updates? Because what we wanted to do with this was, you know, it's a three of us, you know, us guys trying to get ourselves, you know, in better health mentally and physically. This wasn't about us trying to tell people what to do with their own lives or their own health. We wanted people to see what we were doing and hopefully be, you know, inspiring to them to kind of do the same thing. You know, if, you know, learn from our story, and you'll hear a couple of stories that I had to tell here, you know, big reasons on why I really wanted to jump into this, and people jumped in as well. So there's a group on Facebook and it's the Survive and Thrive Fit Challenge Crew. And it's associated with the Within the Trenches podcast page. So if you just search for it in the search bar on Facebook, you'll be able to find it and request to be added, and we'll add you in there. So there are, like I said, 83 members in there. We would love to get a lot more people just to inspire each other. So there's been, like I said, a lot of stuff that's been going on.
We have gotten quite a few messages through the 911 Training Institute Facebook page quite a few people have actually reached out to us, sending us direct messages about what specifically the Survive and Thrive Fit Challenge is and how they can join and whatnot. And so we have actually directed all of our people to your Survive and Thrive Fit Challenge group, the closed group page. And so hopefully we have contributed to that number of 81 people who are actively involved in posting their stories of things that they're doing to take care of themselves. And I think that community of people, seeing that others are also engaged in participating, you know, inspires one to keep it up for themselves.
Right. Definitely. So a lot of them have come over, and just kind of talking about some of the posts that are in there. One of them, and I'm actually going to go kind of out of order of the notes that I have, because it's a, you know, a perfect addition to what you're saying there. One of the dispatchers that's in that group is actually a good friend of mine. She had posted something up saying that she was very grateful for this challenge, and as well as the group, saying that, you know, after, you know, having the best year of her career in 2016, she had fallen far and fast during 2017, which is pretty crazy, because I think a lot of people were falling hard in 2017. I don't know what was wrong with that year, with last year, but it was a dick to many people. And she goes on to say that, you know, she was sidelined from a back injury resulting in surgery that happened in June, as well as some uncontrolled diabetes. So it was, the whole year was full of illness and depression and a fog, but she said that it was finally lifted thanks to doing yoga and completely changing her diet. And, you know, she says there's nowhere to go up from here. So, you know, she says that what we're doing is important. And I think what everyone is doing, especially, you know, what she's doing too, is very important. So that's just one of the stories from, you know, one of the dispatchers, you know, someone in public safety who has joined this challenge to talk about what it means to them. And there are a lot more that are in there of people talking about just, you know, issues that they were having. And it's inspiring to see other people trying to push forward to better themselves.
Yeah, and you know, the cool thing is that there's not just dispatchers in that group. We have other first responders working in other fields too. So personal friends of mine who are police officers, and a couple of people who've sent me messages are firefighters. So it's not strictly restricted to people who work in the 911 industry. It's, you know, a lot of other first responders who also struggle with the same issues that we do working in a dispatch communication center. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, this is Jim here. And, you know, this brings us to what this whole thing was about to begin with. I mean, we recognized that we needed each other to be able to get the mojo and actually the accountability to basically maintain a new regimen. For some people, you know, that they are already in good condition. They want to do a lot more. For some of us, it's getting back to walking regularly. But I was in Houston 2 weeks ago. Actually, I guess 2 weeks ago. Last week, I was in Richmond, Virginia. And the striking thing is this. Between those two cities and those two groups, we had, as Ryan was saying, frontline telecommunicators, but also medics, paramedics, EMTs. And for a number of those folks, they'd never been in a room where they felt permission in with other emergency responders to admit that they struggled, because it's always been, you got to suck everything up and just gut it out. So if we're not able to acknowledge emotional distress, how many people are acknowledging physical distress with each other? And so what's the fate of our industry? You know, so anyhow, I just think what we've had is people like Ryan, like you said, we have people kind of coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, thanks for creating a space. And, you know, with your brilliant idea, Ricardo, to create the crew, so there's a closed space, people feel safer admitting that they have not wanted to go public in the past with Facebook. You got a lot of Facebook stuff about wellness and all this stuff, and people post all kinds of stuff. But a lot of people, they're too embarrassed to admit where they're actually at. And that this is hardship to begin this thing, and that we struggle with willpower. So I'm just grateful to you, Ricardo, for helping make this thing possible, to be able to do the Survive Thrive Fit Challenge, for partnering up with us on this. because honestly, I mean, it's fun, it's cool. We're having a lot of great, you know, repartee and silliness that we do, you know, like talking about getting run over by your Martinez bus, excuse the pronunciation. But the fact is, I think we could possibly help some people, save some people's lives.
Yeah,
by making our own. And we started, this was about us. We weren't trying to be do-gooders, but we realized, wait a minute, if we need it, who else needs this? So let's help save our own lives and maybe some others along the way here.
Yeah, exactly. And really quick, if I were the bus running you over, I'd be more of a 64 Impala with hydraulics bouncing over you.
Now, are you stereotyping yourself?
Maybe.
Okay, then I want to see the Chihuahua hanging from the rearview mirror.
Well, if I were Cheech and Chong, I'd probably be Cheech, even though I think Chong is cooler. But because he was the one with the 64 Impala up in smoke. But yeah, I mean, this whole challenge, I mean, I mentioned it in the beginning when we were first talking about all this, the last episode that we did, and I've posted a lot about it as well. I've had a lot of medical issues going on in the past year and a half. And I didn't know what was going on with me. The doctors didn't know what was going on with me. And I actually typed something up finally. And I'm one of those people, I didn't want to admit that I had a big issue, you know, and then it really started taking a toll. And I had to do something about it. Because, I mean, I was pretty much the way I see it. I mean, I was pretty much killing myself with the way I was living. You know, slowly, you know, just through food, really. So I have a couple stories that I want to talk about. And I had never gone real in depth of what I was dealing with, maybe to a point, but I wrote a few weeks back, the title was Sugar, We're Going Down, which is actually a title to a song by Fall Out Boy. But that I thought it would go perfect because sugar is a big part of what I've been dealing with. So and I think what I was dealing with, or still dealing with rather, is that it started when I was in dispatch. So when I was in dispatch, I mean, I worked midnight shift. So I would have and I would go to a fast food joint before going into work, and I would order a meal to eat on my way there because we don't always get time to eat when we're in dispatch. And then I would have like two cheeseburgers and some nuggets or something, or three cheeseburgers and nuggets or whatever, because I would have to, that would last 12 hours for that whole shift. And I was just eating like shit all the time that I was there. And not just that, just snacking on crap all the time. I don't know when I really drank water. There was one 9-week stint that I was doing P90X, and that was probably the healthiest that I had ever been while I was in dispatch. And I stopped drinking beer. I stopped drinking pop. I was just drinking water. I was eating good and I was doing great. But then I got sidelined with the flu, like a really bad case of the flu. I was out for like 2 or 3 weeks. I was still going into dispatch, but I was sick. And then I couldn't get back into what I was doing before. So along with that, so that I could stay awake, I was either downing coffee or I was downing energy drinks and just a very high intake of sugar is what was going on. So then you know, you've got years later, we go back to just a year and a half ago, and I'm still kind of eating crappy and drinking a lot of pop, drinking a lot of energy drinks, you know, having a few alcoholic drinks here and there. And I almost passed out. I was at work. I was talking to a coworker and I about fell over. Everything was spinning. And I sat down and he asked me if I was okay. And I said, I don't know, man. I said, I've never had that happen before. And since for a week or two, that was happening. I was having dizzy spells and things were just nuts. I ended up going to the doctor. I went to the emergency room actually first and they checked me out. They said all of my, everything neurologically was fine. That I didn't have any huge like tumors or anything crazy. And I thought, well, that's good to know, but you know, what else is going on? Well, they couldn't tell me. And then eventually I started having this extreme stiff neck pain, shoulder pain, back pain, all of this crazy stuff. And I thought, man, all this time that I was sitting in dispatch with the phone between my ear and my shoulder, you know, it's finally catching up to me. And, you know, I went to the chiropractor. It would work for, you know, that day, and then it would go back. So, you know, again, the doctors couldn't tell me anything. It was daily extreme pain where, you know, I'm taking ibuprofen every day just to try to take the edge off of the pain, and it wasn't helping. And I just started to get used to it. Even though it was killing me, I got used to it, and I just put on a smile, and it sucked. But then I started researching just my symptoms. And then a friend of mine had something similar that he was dealing with. And he says, you need to look up a candida overgrowth. And I said, well, what the hell is that? And he says, well, he goes, it's yeast in your body that's overgrowing and can get into your bloodstream if it, you know, if it's bad enough. And I didn't believe it. I didn't believe him at first. And I've told him many times, man, I'm sorry, I didn't believe you. Because it kind of ended up being what I have. Now, again, like I said in my post, this is not doctor diagnosed. I haven't gone to my doctor yet. I'm going to go for a physical here in a few weeks. And then mention to her all this stuff that has happened, because they kept sending me to physical therapy for my shoulder. And they said, oh, you probably just have a pinched nerve. And that's, you know, that's why you're getting these headaches. That's why you're getting these dizzy spells. Well, I stopped drinking completely. I'm going on, I think, 5 months now that I haven't had a drink. And immediately that started helping. Well, a candida yeast overgrowth, I mean, what, you know, what fuels yeast? Yeast. So there's a lot of yeast in, you know, in beer and stuff. So I cut that out. And a lot of my issues started going away, but I was still feeling crappy. So then I researched more on this candida overgrowth, and there was a candida diet, which is like a cleanse when you first start out. You cut out all sugar, all grains, all fruits. And for me, since I'm lactose intolerant, all dairy, even though I love cheese and it really sucks. But I did it. Yeah, I went to the extreme because I was tired of feeling like shit. And it sucked those first few days. I was hulking out. Like I was craving sweets, which is nuts because I don't eat candy. I don't like it, but I will take down a few Cokes or a Pepsi. So I'm assuming that's where it was coming from, but I completely stopped that. And I'm on the third week now and my symptoms are gone. And when God, you guys,
what symptoms are gone?
All the extreme stiff neck pain, the headaches, the feeling dizzy, the feeling off balance, my back pain, my shoulder pain, the tension in my neck that was causing a lot of the headaches and dizziness, it's gone. I mean, just from stopping the sugar intake alone, everything went away, which is nuts. And for those who are listening to this, do your own research because everybody is different. My issue won't be the same as yours. So I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be. So don't take my word for it. I'm just telling you my story and what has happened with me. So please do your own research. But I don't feel like winded like I used to. I don't have this blockage feeling in my chest where I couldn't take a deep breath. Like I can actually take a deep breath now and feel it go into my lungs. So it's freaking nuts. So when you guys first started talking to me about this, I thought, hell yes, let's do this. I want to do this. I'm all in because this completely fits with what I'm doing. You know, it's not about losing pounds for me. It's not about me telling people how to lose pounds for themselves. It's me doing this because I was mentally broken from all of this because it was screwing me up. And now I'm getting back to who I used to be.
Can I ask you something about this? You just mentioned something, Ricardo, about the mentally broken thing. One of the things we don't talk about, in which I experienced to some extent too, was if we feel like we're not in control of our physical health, it gets depressing. It gets really discouraging, and it also can affect our feeling of self-esteem, because it's like, I don't have control over my own body. And the longer that happens, the more discouraged we get. Did you experience that too? Was that part of the mental struggle for you?
Yeah, for sure. Because part of the whole depression piece of this and being mentally broken was the fact that I didn't know what was wrong with me. A lot of the things that were going on too was that I couldn't play with my kids like I wanted to because I was winded. I would get winded going up the stairs, and I'm not a big dude or anything. I guess for my height, I would be considered overweight, but you know, I'm not that big of a guy. So for me to get winded just going up the stairs in my house, that was depressing as well. And then my daughters, you know, wanting to play and stuff, and I would play as much as I could. And then I would just kind of sit there and they're like, "Are you okay?" And I would feel dizzy. And I would say, "No, I'm fine. Let's continue playing." But it was horrible. I mean, it just made me feel like crap that I couldn't just, you know, play with them.
Well, see, I just think that this is one of the ways that we interface, because there's this idea, and I know we're going to talk about this later, but there's this idea that, you know, that, and certainly, you know, I have 9-1-1 friends who are obese, and they're depressed by being obese, and they weren't that way when they started the work. And so it's kind of like we could think the fit challenge is about obesity. Well, it's about health improvement, which could include battling and overcoming obesity. But the reality is you probably were not technically, but if you look at body mass index, not obese by standards. You might have been overweight, as you're saying. But the thing is, it's not about necessarily the pounds of adipose tissue. It's the fact that you couldn't get up the dang stairs. So this is the great common denominator, is we can be out of shape and at risk in our health, no matter how much overweight we are. And this is why we started the Fit Challenge. I mean, is this resonating?
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, the other thing I wanted to say too is while doing all of this, and this was in a conversation, excuse me, while talking to not only my wife, but some of my admins, we were talking about doing yoga and stuff, and I realized in the conversation that there's more to the reason why I do yoga. And it really didn't hit me until I was kind of talking it out. And it's going to sound weird, but there's more to it in the sense where when I was in dispatch, I took a phone call. And when I was in dispatch, I was also having pains with my sciatica nerve. And I remember going into, and this part's kind of funny, I remember going into urgent care, and my doctor from when I was a kid was there. And he comes in and he goes, "Rich, hey." I said, "Oh, Dr. Kratzer, I haven't seen you in forever." And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Well," I said, "I'm in here, so I'm not too good." and he goes, "Well, what's the issue?" So, you know, I'm sitting on the bed and I'm telling him about this nerve pain that I'm having. And he goes, "Let's try something." And I said, "Okay." So I stand up and he says, "Is your wallet in your right pocket?" And I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, take it out." So I took it out and I sat it on the bed. He goes, "Now sit down." And I sat down and he goes, "How do you feel?" And I said, "Great." I said, "I feel like a lot of pressure has just been lifted." I said, "You got to be kidding me." I said, I've been hurting myself because of my wallet, that I've been sitting on my wallet this whole time. And he says, "Yeah." He goes, "You'd be surprised how many people come in here for that issue. And it's because they've been sitting on their wallet."
Sold you a CAT scan, an MRI, and an awful lot of pain drugs. Instead, what a good doctor.
Yeah, exactly. And this was years ago, you know, when I was in dispatch before all this other bullshit happened. And he said, "Do you sit on your wallet when you're in dispatch, when you're working 12-hour days?" And I said, yeah, I feel really stupid now. So to get rid of the pain, though, he was talking about, you know, doing stretches and all this other stuff. And I said, "Well, what about yoga?" And he goes, "Yeah, definitely." He goes, if you can do that, he goes, "that a lot of people find some good in doing yoga." So I did. I started doing yoga. And the first session of yoga that I did, which was like an hour and a half, my pain was almost completely gone. So I just kept doing it and kept doing it. And it was helping me. And then one night I'm in dispatch, middle of the night, I get a phone call, and it's a girl who's calling because she's in extreme pain and she wanted to kill herself. The pain was that much that, you know, she'd been dealing with it that much that she just wanted to end it. There was nothing else. There was no other way out of the pain she was feeling than to kill herself. So I started talking to her. You know, I've got all her information. We've got people heading out there to help her. And I let her know this. And she's, you know, telling me that it's going to be too late, that she's made her decision. And I stopped her and I said, what pain are you dealing with? Let me try to help you. You know, there's another way. You know, there's people out there that love you and, you know, you're calling because you want help. I said, so let me help you. And she was telling me about her back pain, that she'd been dealing with some extreme back pain and she just really couldn't take it. So I started telling her about my issue because I wanted to relate to her. I wanted her to know that I knew what she was going through. And I started talking to her about yoga. And we started talking enough that she had changed her mind and help got out there. And, you know, she said, thanks. She said she was going to look into doing yoga to relieve the pain that she'd been dealing with. So that's why I continue to do yoga a lot, because that sticks with me. The fact that I was able to help somebody by relating to them. And my trainer, when I had very first started, his name was Rob. And I remember watching him take phone calls, like suicidal callers. And he would just start talking to them about their, you know, what they liked, what kind of movies, what kind of music, and would just talk to them and relate to them. And that always stuck with me. And I got the chance to do the same thing. Oh shit, getting a little emotional here. But I ended up sending him a message the following day after that call. And I said, thanks, man. I said, this is what I did. Thank you. This is one of those things that sticks with you.
That's a powerful story. You know, about a year and a half ago or so, Jim and I did a little workup for the IAED that they published a story or an article that we put together on yoga in their journal. And it's funny that you talk so much about it, because people always say that, you know, they can't do yoga because they're not flexible. But that's exactly the reason that you do yoga, is to get flexible, and not in a crazy bendy, like contortionist sort of way, but so that you can bend instead of breaking. And if anybody knows about that, it's 911 dispatchers, right? And there are simple things like that that carry over so easily onto the dispatch floor, because you can do them while still plugged in there at your console. And it's funny that in this Survive, Thrive, Fit challenge crew that you've created, some people have actually shared stories about things that they do while they're still at work, you know, while sitting in the chair at their console to try and motivate themselves to get more fit. And it's not, you know, some intense cardio workout, you know, Ricardo, it's not your P90X. It's not insanity. It's doing simple things to make you more mindfully aware of what your body is going through as a result of the stress that you're exposed to during the course of your shift. And for a lot of us, it goes beyond just exercise. So for me, it's about my diet. So I'm a very thin guy. I'm 5'9", 5'10", and I am 130 pounds, soaking wet, fully clothed with, you know, lead boots on. And so for me, I have to be more mindful about my diet and what I choose to eat in a healthy way, because I can pound down a couple cheeseburgers, no problem. And, you know, it just, my metabolism, it doesn't affect me like it does other people. But I have to really do some self-examination and ask myself, yeah, it's really good now, but what is that? What are the long-term impacts those choices I'm making right now are going to have on my health later? Because at some point in time, inevitably, you know, things catch up with you. And so I've had to be more proactive about what I choose to eat. And so
not because of weight, but because of what the food will do to you, like cholesterol and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And so not long ago, shortly about a week or so or less after we officially kicked off this Survive Thrive Fit Challenge, I met a friend for lunch at Islands, which is a popular place in Southern California, which has awesome cheeseburgers. Shout out promo to Islands. But I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the menu and, I want a big wave with cheese and bacon all over it. And I glance over at the salads and I'm so hesitant, right? I'm so hesitant because I've never felt like I've had to make that choice in my life. But now I feel like, I'm feeling like I make it because I want to, not because I feel like I have to. And so, I'm sitting here having lunch with my friend and I order a salad and she ridicules me to no end because what's a guy like me doing eating a salad for lunch, right?
Yes.
Right.
But so I explained it to her. I'm like, hey, I got a couple knucklehead friends and they coerced me into doing this fit challenge with them.
Thanks a lot.
And I'm actually having a good time doing it and I want to keep it up. And if we relate that back to the dispatch floor, about 2 weeks ago, our good friend Adam Tim of the Healthy Dispatcher shared a brilliant article through his social media that was called How to Stop Emotional Eating from Stress. And it didn't have anything to do specifically with, dispatchers or in the 911 industry, but it talked about how people react to stressors in their life. And we so often turn towards food for that, right? Uh-huh. So when we're happy, we choose one thing. And when we're depressed and when we're stressed, we choose other things. And how those food choices, how that diet, impacts our health. And so this article actually, I found it brilliant. Thank you, Adam, for posting it. But, it talked about a couple of other different things you could do to be more mindful in regards to your overall health, while taking into consideration the dietary choices that you're making as a result of how you're feeling. Because when I'm feeling stressed, I want to eat, chocolate cake, and I want to have an alcoholic beverage. And that one alcoholic beverage often turns into three, right?
Right.
And so, he shares some other coping mechanisms and things that you can do to change that mindset in you, which I have found really helpful so far. So that has been my fit challenge journey so far.
Now I have to ask, you were talking about this, this salad you got. Is that the picture that you posted on Instagram where you've got the frowny face?
Dude, did you see that? That was an epic picture. It was an epic because I was like, this is exactly how I'm feeling. Cause now I'm going to have to eat a bunch of lettuce. And so internally, I might be feeling good, but externally I'm like, man, okay. So this is the choice that I'm going to make, but I'm really sad to make this choice right now. And so I had my friend snap this photo of me. And it's basically of me holding my head down in my hand, like making this frowning face as I'm looking at this salad with all these, healthy vegetables and whatnot.
Yeah, that was an epic picture, man, for sure. Because, think about it this way, though. If it were me eating a hamburger there, and I put this in the post for the Sugar We're Going Down. If I had a burger, it would be deconstructed where it would just end up being a patty and onions. It's like, what's the point? What's the point after that? So on top of that, I mean, going from there, hearing about your recap, Jim, how have you been doing since we started this? What's been going on with you?
Well, I actually have been binging the whole time on Lay's potato chips and sour cream dip and about 2 liters of Coke almost every day. I'm kidding. The reason I said that though is because amidst these good things, I want to acknowledge that there's struggle in this. And so here's the thing for me. To back up a little bit, when I started this, it was because I had always intermittently, you know, from my 40s, done pretty well with, you know, my exercise, with what I ate. But what I found was in the last 4+ years since we moved, I'm on the road a lot more. There's a huge amount of stress going on in life. And that started slipping. And even though I tried to be conscious of it and get it back, and we were doing the work of the Wellness Foundation, I reached a place where I thought, you know what, I'm not in the pocket. I'm not really fully doing what I need to do. And I think I said this last podcast, but I called my brother Dave and I said, and, you know, I knew that Dave was really not taking great care of his health in terms of exercise and in terms of what he was eating. And so I needed some support. And this is before I yanked your chain, Ryan and Ricardo, and just said, Dave, you know, on a scale of 0 to 10, how well are you doing, like, taking care of yourself, you know, in terms of what you eat and your exercise? And he said, probably a 2.5. And I said, well, you know, I can relate to that in the sense that I want to be able to have the fitness to be able to play with my grandkids. I want to be able to hike the Appalachian Trail on my own and not have my wife feel like I have to have a physician with me so I don't stroke out. You know, I want to do some stuff. I want to be able to live my life. And as we get older, we start to realize our body is not going to be our slave without consequence ad infinitum. And so I said, Dave, here's the reality. I'm kind of in a slug rut, and I don't think I'm going to pull this off at a level that is really going to do the job without support and accountability, right? So Dave agreed with me on that. And then I realized, you know, if one support is good, two is even better. And what about if we, you know, Ryan and I yank Ricardo's chain. And so, Ricardo, you know, with you coming on board, the fit challenge here for me has been really, really good, because it's sort of like, okay, it's 8:30, and here's the update. It's 8:30. I have had a meeting after training 911 on the road. That meeting's done at 8:30. There's no way I would have gone and exercised before I had this level of commitment. And I don't give credit fully to willpower. It's more like I needed to realize that other people were going to ask me how I'm doing because I gave them permission. And also, what if publicly then I said, well, I really have not been doing anything since we started this thing. Not a good idea. So at any rate, but, you know, I find myself getting up and going and doing the thing. It's 8:30, and I'm going to go down there. And for me, I'm not maybe doing some elite level of fitness work that somebody else is. I can relate more to folks who it's hard for them just to think of getting up to even walk and exercise. I mean, I'm doing it, you guys. I'm doing my 30-plus minutes every day of walking. I think in the last 14 days, I've missed 2 days. But the idea is, the resolve is there. And it's because we've got each other to do this. And along with the three of us, the messages I've been getting on Facebook, the private messages, the posts on Facebook, the, you know, and the crew, you know, Survive 5 Fit Challenge, the crew, the things that have been posted there, I really feel like we're together as a community doing this, and that's been inspiring, and that's why we started it. So I think I want to tell you guys and tell Ricardo, you're within the trench listeners, if we're really going to drill down on this thing about what's really motivating us as three guys, and I think helping other people too, to get their mojo on this. The reality of the fact that we can die came to me again since we talked last, and that is my brother, who I just spoke of. You know, he's got to lose significant weight. More than that, it's the cholesterol and that, it's that stuff. Like Ryan, you were saying, it's not necessarily the weight, it's what you're eating because of the cholesterol, the risk for heart and all that stuff. Okay, in the middle of all this, Dave started on with me and we're working on this together. Then he goes in for a total knee. He gets a total knee replacement, right? He comes back out. It looks like he's going to be stellar in his recovery. So he's sitting at his dining room table with his wife. She goes over to the kitchen counter. She looks again at Dave. His color looks off. She says, Dave? She starts talking to him. He doesn't answer. She walks over. She looks at him. He's staring like through her. He can't see her. And she holds for his pulse. He's got no pulse. I mean, you guys, this happened like a week ago. He's got no pulse. So now my wife, my sister-in-law is a master's level nurse. She's been involved in helping save a lot of people's lives. Now she's calling, guess what, our friends at 911. And so they're in Essexville at, you know, at the Bay City. I think it was Bay City 911. Thanks to a shout out to Bay City, Michigan 911. All you guys there. So my brother nearly died a week ago. And here's the thing. In this case, it wasn't in itself a fitness thing. I'm just saying he just started the fitness challenge with us on this. And yet his blood pressure dropped so fast because of his pain that he could have perished. I'm just saying, I think we take our longevity for granted. And to see my brother, who I love so much, almost go, it's sort of like, no, we want him around because he's locked in to live the rest of his life healthy. So we really got to do this like we mean it. Yeah, that's whether, you know, we're 30-something Ryan Deadman, 40-something Ricardo Martinez, or me.
Yeah.
End of story.
Now, I'm glad that your brother is good, that he made it out. That shit's scary. You know, that nobody can escape it. Eventually it'll hit us, but I would rather it hit me when I'm like in my 80s. That's why I wanted to completely change my diet and how I myself am doing things. You know, for me, and to inspire others. So I think this has been good. I mean, it's been really good, especially with the group. Again, for those listening, if you want to join up, just search on Facebook. It's the Survive and Thrive Fit Challenge Crew, and we'll add you on to it. So going into the wrap up of this, I want to mention that Michigan Nina is going to be coming up in May, and this is going to be the first, I should say Michigan Nina APCO, because this will be the first time that they do a joint conference, and it is going to be held on Mackinac Island, which is going to be pretty sweet. And I think, Ryan, you have a session that you're going to be doing there, right?
I do. I have a session that I'll be doing there. And this will be my first time ever setting foot on Michigan soil. So please be kind to me. And hopefully I bring some sunshine with me to warm up your state.
Excellent. Now, it'll be nice, man. It'll be good. So you'll be doing a session. I submitted a session as well for Imagine Listening an Open Mic, which will be a live audience episode that I record there at the conference. So hopefully that gets accepted there. That'll be awesome. But since the three of us are going to be there, we're going to check in for the challenge. During that time, we're going to record an episode to see any changes, what's been going on, and just go from there. I think it's going to be good. Now, also, for this wrap-up piece of this episode, Jim, you've got a book that's going to be coming out here pretty soon. Tell us about that.
I haven't said a lot about that. I've shown the cover of it at our conferences, but I'm stoked about this. Frankly, I began writing The Resilient 911 Professional in 2010. It's been this many years now. It'll be released. We're shooting for April, so we're a few months away now. So 2018. It's taken this many years not to write it 40 hours a week, but so many things have happened, so many encounters with NIM professionals, so many private conversations, and so many things that we've learned about the risks of NIM stress, but so much more that we know about what we can do with NIM stress. And the thing is, though, we've got to have a comprehensive look at how to achieve resilience as a 911 family. How do our frontline telecommunicators achieve resilience? We do a workshop here, a presentation there. I do training. Other great folks do training. But what we've been working on is really, it's called The Resilient 911 Professional, a comprehensive guide to surviving and thriving together in the 911 center. And we've brought together 911 professionals with medical doctors, with psychology experts, to pull together really a full view at all the aspects of mastering 911 stress and being resilient together. 27 chapters. It's been a behemoth of work to pull together. But we're doing this with the help of, I'm the editor of the volume, but we have a little publishing company that we opened for this called on South of Heaven Press, and Tracy Geary, a wonderful friend, 911 professional who's working on her master's lit. She's helping edit this whole thing. So she's our in-house editor. So we're very excited. We want to get this in the hands of every 911 professional, every comm center. And so we're looking forward. We'll probably be launching this at Navigator 2018, but we want to make pre-ordering available to people And we need a lot of help getting the word out about this. Maybe we can help save some more lives here and give quality of life a big boost for everybody.
Excellent. I look forward to that. When you get that stuff put up on your website for those to, you know, to have the ability to pre-order and such, let me know. I'll make sure to put it out there and share it among my my social media outlets. And I'll be seeing you there at Navigator as well in Vegas.
Hey, that'll be a blast. And what we'll do with 300 pre-ordering, they can go to 911training.net, go to the resources tab, and drop down, and they'll see the book. It'll say books and articles. They can click on books, and they can type in their info to request to pre-order, and so they can do that right away. And then we will, as soon as the book is ready for sale, then we will contact everybody and they can place their formal orders. So thanks for the support on this, Ricardo. And by the way, thanks for the privilege of being able to sponsor Within the Trenches this last month, because I got to tell you, it's not just the podcast that we're sponsoring. It's saying that Jim Marshall believes that Ricardo Martinez is a man who can be trusted with a message that we desperately need. You've created a forum that there's nothing else like it in the world for us to be able to tell the stories about life in 911 and encourage people and give people hope. And that's about helping save lives. So we owe a huge debt of gratitude to you, Ricardo, from the days of your frontline work, and including helping save the life of somebody by telling your own journey like you did today, to the way you use that platform to help tell stories every day. It's helping people not only stay in 911, but stay alive. So I commend you for that, and that's why we sponsored this month. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, my voice cracked there. Oh, man. Turned 13 again. No, thank you. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate that. And I appreciate the both of you being on this episode. I look forward to seeing you guys soon. And for those who are listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us. And that's going to be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @911podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/WithinTheTrenchesPodcast. This episode is sponsored by the 911 Training Institute and supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. This episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and thejabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to WTTpodcast@gmail.com.